Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We meditate this day on the last verse of the gospel appointed for this particular feast day. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In Jesus' name, dear redeemed. In the Old Testament, the people of God would set up the tabernacle as they journeyed from place to place in the desert of the Sinai. That word, tabernacle, the place where God met his people, is the word used here by St. John the Evangelist when he says, "The Word became flesh and tabernacled, dwelt, lived among us." Consider that first night. A shepherd leaves his flock for a time. He walks from the place where some are gathered and far too many are straying. It's not that he doesn't care about his sheep that he goes. It's that he does care. Thus he must leave them for a while. At the appointed time, the shepherd goes over to that one particular place where the angelic messenger has proclaimed God will meet him there. And indeed, God has come down there, and the shepherd will be in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. The one, as John reminds us, who said with a brief word, and who was himself that word, and all things came into being. God is come down in time, in that place in Bethlehem, and the presence of the Lord God is now among his people. God tabernacles with him there, this time not in a cloud or a pillar of fire, but in a humble child. This shepherd, since he could not ascend to God's glorious paradise, what will he do? Because he could not go there, God journeys to him. He comes down to him in order that this shepherd might be in the very presence of God himself. And he is here this day also. He is present among you, among us. He who has been born of a virgin is what we celebrate on this sacred, this Christ Mass day. Your God comes to you, not in his awesomeness, for you would be overrun with fear as were our first parents in the garden. He would not come down with an angelic messenger, for the shepherds cowered from that as well. Your God is among you, not in his mighty power, for then you must hide as did Adam and Eve, our first parents, when after they had sinned, heard God walking in the garden. Your Savior comes to you, not in mighty power, for you would quake in fear, but he comes to you just like you. One just like you. So ordinary, so simple, that you can almost overlook the miracle of what has transpired that night, that day, the mystery which we call the Christ Mass. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. As the shepherds left their flocks and journeyed toward Bethlehem, they had only the word of the angel, "Fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, a Savior, who is the Christ, the Lord." And yes, the angel gave a sign to them as well. "You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." You and I, living on this side of our Lord's coming in the flesh and of his rising into heaven also in the flesh, recognize the purpose of his coming. He came to reestablish the relationship between you and God the Father that had been lost. He came to recreate, as it were, that which had been enveloped and swallowed by sin. For when our first parents sinned, there was created a great gulf between God and the sinner, between God and man. And this great separation was not only between God and man, but happened, as you and I well know, between mankind as well. And so we have our quarrels, our disputes, our sinful flailing out at one another. What God had created to be in perfect harmony, what God had put together with the word of his Son, has now become separated. Man could not put what has become separated, that which was broken, back together again. So God did. He reestablishes his kingdom that had been separated from him, and he reestablishes it not in an earthly form, but in hearts and lives of people, of his creatures. And he does so through this miracle of the Word becoming flesh just like you. So as his children, you have been reconnected to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. And as I mentioned in last evening's late service sermon, the biblical term for this is fellowship. And today we consider fellowship as we welcome seven people to this altar in this place. That is what fellowship is, being reconnected to God through Jesus Christ and, incidentally, being reconnected to one another also through Jesus Christ. And this touches on the question, what of you? Since you weren't there with the shepherds, does the Word become flesh now dwell among you? Of course he does, for that is his promise. He has given his Word, and his Word is sure. And he dwells among you, that is, tents with you, tabernacles with you, according to both his divine and his human natures. So that which is in heaven is also here according to on earth, according to both natures as well. And you are in his presence. And this humble place is where his glory dwells. The glory is here hidden, not under the covering of a tent or in a cloud, but his glory is real nevertheless, hidden but revealed in word and sacrament. This great coming in the flesh, Jesus' conception in the womb of his blessed mother, hallows your birth as well. But there is more, as you well know. For you who were disconnected have been reconnected to him in the water of baptism. And he pours out this salvation from pulpit and reconnects himself to you in the most intimate way at the altar. This divinely created participation you now have with God and thus with each other, this fellowship. And this fellowship finds its fountain and source in the gospel message. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You are now joined together in fellowship with one another, first and foremost, because God has seen fit to fellowship with you. This the church calls the incarnation. Jesus Christ was incarnate of the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. This you confessed in the creedal hymn just sung. That word confess has a particular meaning. It literally means to same say. We cannot same say with each other. We can hardly agree on much of anything. We don't all agree on politics. We don't all agree on this, that, or the next thing. But In his mercy and grace, God teaches us how to same say. God teaches us what to say about ourselves through his word of law. That law reveals to us that we are sinners, and apart from Christ, we are doomed to hell. But God teaches us what to say about him as well. And there he teaches us that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there he teaches us that the Son has become incarnate in the flesh, and that the Holy Spirit draws us to that incarnate Son of God. And in that word, God teaches us that his Son was born of a Virgin Mary. And this the people of God same say, as God has revealed to us. And in that same confession, and in that saying the same thing as these seven people will do today, we enter into fellowship one with another, because we same say not merely with God, but with each other. Soon in the liturgical calendar will come Lent, Holy Week, Easter, and then the Ascension. Today you celebrate the fact that the Son of God entered into the tabernacle of your human body and soul to remain there forever as both true God and true man. So fully did Christ assume our humanity that he who created his mother now was dependent upon her for his very nourishment. In this way, you learn to long for the pure spiritual milk of the Word, and you grow up into salvation. And you do so in the womb of Holy Mother Church. The same Spirit which hovered over Mary hovers over this church, claiming you, washing you, forgiving you all your sins in the water of baptism. From the moment that the Spirit of God hovered over you in those waters, you were declared to be a Son of God, clothed in the righteousness of the Son of God, the Christ, the Word become flesh, and an heir thus of salvation. From the moment of your conception through baptism in the womb of the church, you were a child of heaven, for you belong to Christ. This is given to you, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, just as he has said. Perhaps many of the toys that were opened last night as presents under the tree, or the toys that will be opened today, will not be here tomorrow, at least in the same form that they came initially. They may be broken, they may be lost, they may even be discarded and the wrapping paper played with instead. The food you eat at your festive tables will soon pass through your body, but the gift of your God in the birth of the Word made flesh will remain forever. Your connection to him will never be disowned from his perspective. On that, you can risk eternity. The joining of Christ to his people is called fellowship with God. And the early church, in her practice of this intimacy between Christ and his bride, called it closed communion. Those who same said communed together, and only they. That which created lasting fellowship is here on the altar for you today. In this most intimate way, your Lord Jesus Christ still exercises fellowship with redeemed sinners. Today in this place, we shall welcome for the first time seven baptized children of God to this level of fellowship at this very table. The sacrament creates fellowship not merely with the Father and the Son, but it creates fellowship with all those who same say, as confessed at this table. This same fellowship pours forth every week of the year for you and for all who avail themselves of it. This fellowship is the fellowship of baptism and the fellowship of the incarnation, that God became man, and the fellowship of his body and blood. Such fellowship remains yours forever because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.